Okay, first, just have to thank you guys tremendously amongst many other people, those who are davening for me. Some of you don't even know who I'm talking about because you don't know who I am, but welcome to Centers. And I. And I was speaking with a few guys a couple hours ago, and I heard there was a little bit of a machlokus about what my name is. My Hebrew name is Elisha Gabriel, but the question is my mother's name Toba or Tova? So for all who davened for Tova, I'm sure there's some guy in France who's very, very grateful. So he's waking up in the morning like, I feel great today. I don't know what it is, you know, half a Klai Yisrael is davening for him. But my mother's name is actually Rachel. And I really want to thank you for no, it's a bet, but it's my mother's from Bar Park, so it could be it's Toiba, and it could be it's Toiba with a lot of yuds and ayins. So I don't know what kavana you had, but I want to thank you for thinking about me, if you were even thinking of me. You see, because if you didn't know who I was, and someone like the guy who was here, you're like, which? And someone like the one that sits there, and they're like, oh, and you're thinking about someone else. So then in Gonson, you were off. I have to make a quick shout out before I forget. It's not relevant to the particular area and timing of what I'm saying now. I just have to say before I forget. And it could be it's going to be a little bit embarrassing for them because you don't want to just call someone out. But you saw Mayor Mermelstein and Eli Jaffa were did absolutely nothing for me, and the whole time, no, they were tremendous, as I'll explain in a minute, but they were very, very helpful, to the extent of if they were not there, it would have been very bad for Shalom Bayis, and it was tremendous, very, very helpful. I really appreciate it. Okay, so I want to give you just a little bit of a storyline of what. I forgot to ask how much time I want to give a quick overview of what occurred. So first of all, my name is Gabriel Friedman. I go by Gav Friedman or Rav Gav or not Rav Kav and not Rav Kav and okay, different Lashonos. But anyway, that this is I. And a couple of weeks ago, we'll just rewind a little bit. A few days before Rosh Hashanah, so we're talking about now, it's either probably a month ago, I mean, you got to work out a month ago. I was planning on going to a place called San Diego, California. I was supposed to be there for Rosh Hashanah, and the reason I was going is because I work also, not only do I hang out here sometimes, and by hangout I mean Steig, but I also hang out in Eish HaTorah, and by hangout I mean hang out and teach a little bit. But there's an Eish HaTorah, there's a branch in San Diego, California, and they called me up about 3 months ago or so, 2 months ago, a month ago, I don't know, before Rosh Hashanah, and they asked if I can come for Rosh Hashanah. So in order to speak over Rosh Hashanah. So there's a lot to the story I'm going to share with you. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it's approximately 8 days worth. But I'm going to tell you, 8, 9 days worth. But I'm going to, well, if I have this, it's a couple of months worth. But I'm just going to say the following. They asked me to come and I said, listen, Rosh Hashanah, there's no way I'm coming for Rosh Hashanah to California without my family. That's just not happening. And that was my way of just saying I'm not interested, you know. So, and even though I love Klal Yisrael, you have to pay me a lot. So they said, okay, you know, the guy in between is like, it's not happening. They're not going to pay as much as you want. I wanted a small, cool 20. And the point is, I settled for less. But the point is, they said, you know, it's not going to happen. You're going to bring my whole family, my wife, my kids. You know, it's just not happening. So that's what the guy told me, the in-between guy. So in the end, they called up and they said, okay, listen, fine, we'll do it. We'll fly you and your family and you'll pay us. And I said, no, I think you misunderstood. And it's a whole thing. It's in Tijuana. It's a Spanish thing. So in the end, fine, they're going to fly me out, my family out. It's going to be great, wonderful. We're going to go. Now, another thing. I wasn't even going to go because Rosh Hashanah, I'd rather, it's Rosh Hashanah. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go to California. you know, it's only for Chayus I would go. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to go to California. I'm only the Shema. But I'm going to go to California. This is pashtunish, since there's no bread to do it. So I, so I'm thinking about it. And then the guy tells me, what was the selling point? He tells me that they're going to have, how many people do they plan on having? They plan on bringing in, it's a Eish HaTorah branch, not all religious, whatever, they plan on bringing, they're going to have 700 people there, 700. And a few, God willing, will be Jewish. So I was like, 700 people, that's already another story. And then one of my kids didn't want to go, it was a whole thing. I went to go speak to Yisrael Berkowitz about it. It was a big shout. And then I'm going, okay, I'm going to go. And Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, I was in Ranana. I was doing a Shabbaton in Ranana. Everything's great, hunky-dory, everything's going wonderfully. And in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock or so, 4:30, my wife and children were with me, or staying by someone, a family friend. And I said, okay, I'll see you soon, I'm going to go. It's about a 25-minute walk to the place where I was going to be speaking. So I went out, I ventured out at 4:30. And I get there right about 5. And when I get there at 5, I'm giving a talk. And I'm giving a talk at 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock. And the kids, I start to feel, now, if you saw the title, there's a reason why I put the title. The title was the fake news thing. I know you guys don't know what that is, but this thing called fake news. But Bekitzer, by Richos, really, Bekitzer, when I ended up getting sick, which you'll see in a minute, people started writing the craziest things about me. His leg fell off, and like it's just like, what's gonna happen now? And you know, people, when I got it, people was like, "How's your leg?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, what leg?" You know, they're like, "And what's with the brain thing?" You know, I was like, "What brain thing? I don't know what was going on." And my wife was seeing these messages that people were sending around. She was so upset. And I was like, what are you so upset about? She goes, people think that you're imminently dying. I said, why is that bad? I said, that's amazing, because now they'll daven for me, you know? Taka, it was the wrong name, but they'll daven for me. And the guy's still like, yeah! Anyway, so, point is, they'll daven for me. But the kids are, crazy things are coming out. People are writing, like, really ridiculous things. Was it a dangerous situation? Was it really so bad? The answer is yes, as we're going to get to in a minute. So so Shabbos afternoon, 5 o'clock in the shir, around 5:30, 5:40, I start to feel the shir's from 5 to 6. I start to feel not so good. I'm really not feeling so good. I'm feeling like flu-like. If you've never had the flu, that doesn't mean anything to you. But to me, I've had the flu. So I was feeling flu-like symptoms. Just a little bit. I started to feel a little bit cold, and my head started hurting a little bit. And just overall, just heavy and... All right, so what happens? I'm going to get them at 6 o'clock, but I finish the shir. I charge on and finish the shir. Then I'm going to give one more shir at the end of Shabbos. And this last shir is going to be at the end of Shalashudas and Tamariv, and it's going to be, that's the end. By this point now, Mincha, 6 o'clock, I start to really not feel good. I sit down on a chair, and as I'm sitting on this chair, I start to feel cold, just this tremendous cold. And I realized I was in front of an air conditioner. But when I moved over, I still felt this cold. And I'm sitting there. And I must not have looked too good, because everybody was facing this way, as is normal custom in a synagogue. And I was sitting like that. And I look up, and some kid is like this, like just like staring at me, you know? And I was just like, I look up, and the kid says, "Ata beseder," which means, you order. "Are you okay?" And I must not have looked so good. I said, "Tavili Maim, just give me some water." That's what you do when you're sick. You're like, "Give me water." Why? I need water. I didn't need water, but I didn't feel good. So I'm like, "Water." And so the guy goes, you know, to get me some water. He's looking for like a bottle. I'm like, "Dude, the sink. You know what I mean? You're Israeli. Why are you looking for a bottle?" You know? And he gets me the thing. The water, as you imagine, did nothing. But Kitzer, time's going on, and it's time for me to give this. And by now, I start to feel like I'm shaking. Not just like a little bit, but I'm like, I'm shaking. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm just trying to hold myself, you know, like this. And someone's talking to me. They're like, "I want to speak with you about their problems." And I was like, "Yeah, you got problems." And I'm masking. And whatever. He just needed someone that was there to care. Anyway, so I start at this point. I give this speech. And now I'm trying to mask the fact that I'm shaking, because I'm trying to mask it. Like, this is as if I'm moving, but I wasn't actually moving. You understand? But it got to a point where my teeth started chattering, literally like that. And I said, like, you must notice that I seem a little different than I was over Shabbos. You know, I'm just not feeling so good. I'm just gonna finish this off and be done. Kids, I wrapped it up and I did what I had to do. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I now have to do Shabbos. You know, and I just like walked. Pasha wasn't feeling good. Maariv was called for. I don't know, but I know Shabbos was supposed to be done at 7:22. Now this is where things, to me, I don't know what time it was, but I didn't think it was 7:22. And like, I go to the other room, and I'm like, I go to the guy. He's like, well, are you okay? I said, I'm great. Can't you see? You know, I forgot to mention, right before I spoke, I said to the guy who brought me out, David Horowitz, you know David from Kutomo. So it's like, I said to him, listen, I'm really not feeling good. If I pass out, I am A positive. I don't have diabetes. I am not allergic to anything, as far as I know. Goodbye. Right? And I went ahead and I give the thing. Okay, then they're like, are you okay? I'm like, no. I'm like, what do you need? I'm like, hot water. Like, we don't have any hot water. I'm like, I just have to get out of here. I just have to leave. I gotta go somewhere. By now, my head is on fire. I had put my head next to the candles, and no, I went to the air conditioner. No, so anyway, by this point, my head is like splitting headache. Push it, splitting. I felt like an axe stuck in my head. So I said to some guy, I'm like, you gotta help me, I gotta get out of here. He's like, where do you wanna go? I'm like, how about the park? You know, I'm like, where do I wanna go? Like, take me somewhere, take me back to where I'm staying. The guy says, okay, I don't have a car. I'm like, I have a car, it's behind the Yerushalmis, no one's touching those. And he goes ahead, and he goes, he gets the keys. I'm like, wait a minute, the Shabbos is over. And they're like, yeah, it's over. And then I heard someone go like, somewhere, you know? And I was like, I'm like, is it? You know, they opened the door, they drove, they're going. Anyway, so point is that they go ahead. This is the craziest part. I tell the guy, he's like, he doesn't know it's the other side of Renan, it's the other side of town. And the Kolo where I was speaking is the other side where I was staying. He knew the block, but he didn't know the house. So when we got to the block, he's like, so where are you staying? I'm like, I was so out of it. I felt so whatever. Who was it? He was. I said to the guy on the way back, I said, I push it. I feel so weak now. I just didn't even know what's going on. I felt that this is what I said to the guy. I thought it was, and we just confirmed. The Rav checked it for me, but that I felt like Titus. Titus of Russia challenged the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu took down Titus. How did he take him down? With what? Like a gnat or a gnat, you know, as others, you know, who can't read well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and just nailed him. Like, you want a piece of meat? Gnat, bird, right? And when I'm having, I felt like teachers, I said, to take a guy like me, 140 pounds of muscle and another 100 of fat, and to just throw me on the floor. Pasha was feeling so sick. The guy, I was so out of it. The guy's like, which house is that? I'm like, it's that one. Now, it wasn't that one. Yeah, and I'll tell you how we found out. I go, it's that one. He goes, that one? I'm like, yes. That is the house. And the guy, I couldn't even open my eyes. He's like, how do you know? I'm like, it's there. He leaves, tells me much later, you know, that wasn't the house, you know? And I noticed only after he got out, I open an eye and I look, I'm like, that's not the house. But the doors are closed. That's how he said it. That's not the house. So the guy went over, he tells me, how do you know it wasn't the house? I can't go into detail because it's Pashut, not Mutter. The guy tells me, okay, I'll say it another way. The guy tells me, he goes to knock. He looks in the window and there is a fellow there who apparently was sunbathing in his living room, and there was no sun. Yeah. And as the knock, he goes, I don't think he's staying here. And he went to the next house, and he sees a bunch of kids, whatever. He goes, yeah. And then he comes in to tell my wife, like, how do you tell someone's wife that their husband might be dying? You know, like, how do you tell them that in a way that's like, so he knocks, he goes, hello? You like Rav Gav's family? And my wife's like, yeah. He goes, everything is okay. You know, like, it's like the worst thing to say. Just say he's sick. You know, everything is okay. She's like, what happened? Everything is fine. You should know next door is not your house. But you should just know everything is fine. What's the problem? He's outside. whatever it is. So my head is on fire. I'm starting to shake like crazy. My wife tells me later, she's so embarrassed to me because like I do things like that sometimes. And she was just so randomly just go like that. And she told me, I didn't remember her saying this, but stop it, you're making a fool of yourself. Like I was literally like this. I'm like, I'm in so much pain. She's like, stop it, you know? I'm in so much pain. And then I felt it coming. I knocked open the door, and when I knocked open the door, I just literally fell out of the car. Now this guy, poor Daniel, this guy who drove me, he was there. Baruch Hashem, he caught me. And remember, we're talking about 240 pounds, and he came along, and it's not really, it's a kilo, and he caught me as I'm pushing, about to fall on the floor, and I just let it go, just totally mamish. I was going on, and I said to the hostess afterwards that your food was delicious, momish both ways, and I was just throwing up like crazy. I just started throwing up. Now, the positive of the throwing up is as soon as I finished, I felt so much better. I just felt better. And I was sitting there, and I was totally out of it, and I was like, really not. They called a doctor to come check me out, and this guy came and said, are you a doctor? He said, yes, I have a PhD in mathematics. And he wasn't too helpful, but another doctor came. And Taka, he's like, listen, I really, you don't look good. This doesn't seem fine. You got to go. There's a hospital right here. Now, I was in Ranana. Ranana's right next to Kfar Saba. There's a hospital called Beit Cholim. I don't know what it's called, actually, but there's a hospital. And they call it Meir, I think it's called. I don't know what the full title is, just Meir. Okay, I never heard of this place before. My wife is like, it's okay, we'll just go home, you know? And they're like, are you sure? I think you should probably take him to the hospital. And now I'm like, listen, let's just go to the hospital. It's right here, you know? So we go to this hospital. And I got to speed this up. There's a lot. But the kids are... We go to the hospital, and I got out, and here I am. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'll tell you. I get to this hospital. Now, this guy, Dave, so funny. He goes, he gets a wheelchair for me. He's like, I need you now to put on, like, an epic, grim, like, go-all-out performance. Because if you want to get you to the top of the line in the ER, you know, you got to be really sick. Yes? I was like, okay. Now, I didn't have to work that hard. I was really sick. You know, so I was like, okay. But I upped the ante, and I was like lying in the thing in my hand. I was just like, let my whole body just, I was just like lie there and on the floor. And then they got a thing, and as they wheeled me in, the woman's like, what's your name? I was like, oh. And she's like, what's wrong? Oh, I just totally pushed it, played it. And then when I tried not to, by the way, I said the same thing. Pushed it and say. But when she tried to roll me out to the next thing, my hand got caught in the wheelchair thing. I could have just taken it out, but I was playing the part. So I was like, hand. I mean, anybody like, hand. So the woman came and like took, she's like, what was that, ma? I'm like, hand. She's like, pulled my hand, I put up. Now, when I could stop acting is when they took my temperature. I had over 103, and I was pushing. I was literally on fire. I was a part of my head was like crazy, and then it started again. I get these chills. It was a process. It was chills, headache, vomiting. That was the process of what was going on over there. And they're like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "You are doctors, not me." You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you asking? Like, what? Well, I've diagnosed it as. penicillinitis, you know, like, how am I supposed to know what's wrong with me, you know? And they go ahead, they're like, they're trying this, and this is where one of the, I don't know if it's a, I would call nisim, is that they started to take blood cultures. Now, that's not a normal process, just taking blood cultures with what I was coming in. I had a headache, I had fever, and I wasn't feeling, I never lost consciousness, and whatever, my leg is still attached, like, everything is there, you know, my head's there. Like, so what's going to be? But they took blood cultures. Now, a blood culture is not a blood test, it's a type of blood test, but a blood test takes how long? How long? A few days if you go to Mucheret, but if you go in the hospital, it takes about a half an hour. Like, they have everything right there, it's done. When they're telling you, it's be ready in, you know, 2 weeks. You know, you're like, 2 weeks? Fine, 1 week. A week? Tomorrow. Thank you, right? Yeah. So here, it's like, in the hospital, it's like a half an hour. So I was like, okay, how long do you, what are the blood cultures? What are you doing? They're like, oh, we're testing your blood for whatever. I'm like, oh, whatever. That must be a serious disease, whatever. You know? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, how long does it take? They're like, oh, some time, you know? I said, well, like a day. The guy's like, about 2 to 3 days. I'm like, oh, so I'm just going to sit here for 2 to 3 days? They're like, no, we'll see, whatever. Long story short. You take the blood cultures. They give me nozlim fluids, you know, IV and different things. And okay, at 3 o'clock, it was 8 o'clock at night. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm feeling better. I said, you know what? It's probably just heat stroke or dehydration, walking in the sun back and forth, not drinking enough, and I hadn't drunk enough that even water. And so it turns out that's probably what it is. All right, they let me go. Nace number two, why'd you let me go? It's very strange. It is a hospital. You shouldn't have let me go. She's like, I'm better. You know, like, you'll come in the emergency room and they're like, how about like, I am better. You know, like, what does that even mean? You know? Okay, I'm better. Like, oh, you are? Okay, you can go. Right. It wasn't exactly like that, but it was exactly like that. And they came along and, no, it really wasn't. They're like, you're not going. I'm like, but I'm better. They're like, well, if you really want to go, you know. And I left, and 3 o'clock in the morning, nace number two and a half, three, my wife is like, we have to go back to Yerushalayim. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, all my kids are sleeping at the my family friend. Like, why would we go back to Yerushalayim now? She's like, you got to go back. We got to go back right now. Yerushalayim, now. I was like, what are you talking about? The kids have school tomorrow. I'm like, are you serious? Like, it's okay. Well, they'll miss a little. No, they can't miss school. You know, so now, like, we must go. I'm like, okay, we'll go, you know. And all right, we get back to the plates. And even the woman we were staying by, she's like, you're going now? And Mark's like, we must go, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm obviously not changing anything. And I go ahead. And we packed all the kids. And we even, pack up your kids. We threw my kids in the trunk. And we went. Now, I was really still not feeling well, even though the hospital said I was. And so my wife drove, and I think she had a duet with Shweki the whole time. I don't know what was going on there. And I was like, call Isha. And so she shot Shweki. And the point is that we go ahead. We get home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we made an appointment for the doctor the next day. Am I going to go to my family doctor and see what's going on? Hi, Rivana Shalom, yadati, yadati, yadati. There I am. And I get home, I go to sleep 4 o'clock in the morning. I wake up the next morning, of course, with Vasikin and Mamish with Betzibor, Tfila, and Kriyashma, and everything. But really, I woke up at 9:30. And when I woke up, and my wife, there's another miracle. My wife is like, take a shower, all right? You were in a hospital. It's gross. Hospitals are gross. You gotta take a shower. I'm like, I'm not taking a shower. Like, I only do Rosh Chodesh and it's Pasha. Shoshana's coming up. It's not happening. And we don't even do Kiddush HaChodesh for Rosh Hashanah. Pasha passes gonna be my cheshvan. And she says to me, you got it. It's gross. There's like germs and it's gross. I'm like, okay, fine. Miracle number five, right? So good. And then when I get up at like, I get a shot like 9:44, going to the doctor, it starts again, these shaking things. And I found that after. This is called Rigers. It's a medical condition. It's called Rigers, which is basically something which happens because of either very high fever and or some sort of infection. I was shaking so much, I couldn't get the key in the door. Now, America has this amazing thing that on the back of a door, you don't have to put the key in. You just turn the thing. But Israel hasn't figured it out. So what you do is you have to put the key in, and if you lose your key, you're locked in for life, right? So I go ahead, and I push it. I was doing like this, and the first thing that came to my mind, of Nassim Tzvi Finkel. I could not imagine how a person can live like this. It just, I couldn't, I was shaking so much. I get into the car, and we go to the doctor, and I'm shaking, we're walking, I don't remember the watch. The doctor's like, what are you doing here? Go to the emergency room. I'm like, but they said I'm fine. Like, go to the emergency room. I go to the emergency room. They get in there. And now this is no longer like I have to put on an epic performance. This is just push it. It is. I am so out of it at this stage. And I get there, and my wife conned them. I don't know how she did this, but she conned. You have to know the way hospitals work here, but when you get to the hospital, in America, you pull up to the emergency room, they take you. Here, you pull up to the gate, the security's like, Mata, miata, ma, lama, lama, mima, ata, at. And they're like, you know, they're going to the different thing, and they're like, what's the thing? My wife's like, I gotta take my husband in the emergency room, and they're like, the parking's there. She's like, She bursts and goes, "He's dying!" She goes ahead and she calls to the person and they let me in and they get there. There's so much more to the story that I'm skipping, by the way. I'm being makatzer, but again, we have very short time here. I get there, they take me on a bed. Now, I know you've never, Chaz Shalom, you don't see, but if you've ever watched a book before, and in the book, you see that the person who's sick, as they're being wheeled, they just see like light, 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 light. So that's all I saw. And I've been in that hospital many times because I used to volunteer and I used to do things in the hospital. I've been in that emergency room many times. I had no idea where I was. Push had no idea. They took me in. They're working. They're doing this, that, the other, up and down. And now they're like, "What's your name?" And I was just, I wasn't coughing. I was like, "Huh?" They're like, "Oh, huh? That's lovely. What's your mother's Hebrew name?" I said, "No one knows." Yeah. They go ahead and they go ahead and let's fast forward, because there's a lot to talk about. They start and I push it. I can't remember. What's the lashon? Edro, tachis shifto. My rebbe, tachis shifto. I'm thinking about Rosh Hashanah. That the way we say in the Lashon that we go ahead and we're passed, you know, just like with the flock of sheep are passed under tachas shifto, they're checked underneath each staff. So too we Klaiyos are coming for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we come step by step. We go in front of Hashem. They start checking everything. CAT scans, or as you call it, CT scans, or whatever it is, which is basically a lot of radiation. And then they did something called an LP. Which is, it's a lovely thing called a spinal tap, where they take a needle and stick it into your spine. And, you know, if anyone here is married, a wife ever got an epidural or something, so I just want you to know I'm in my third, and Baruch Hashem, everything's coming along. They go out, they did it's called an LT, a lumbar puncture. Lumbar, not because of lumber, because of wood, but because of the guy who created his name was lumber, whatever. And the point is, they go ahead, they put that in, they do another CT, they take blood tests, they take urine tests, they take this, they take that, and they're going, "Mamish, part by part of my body." And they're like, we don't know what's wrong with you. We don't know what's wrong with you. I'm like, "My wife says that also. I don't understand." And they go ahead. The best part was what they said to me. That's so not right. So back there. So they go ahead and my wife was like, they said, "How are you feeling?" I said, I'm seeing angels. And my wife's like, "Shut up." And I said, like, "Okay, I don't see any angels." Point is that they're trying to figure this out. I'm admitted now at this point that they wanted to admit me to the hospital. I'm like, "Please don't admit me to the hospital." I said, "Why don't you want to be admitted? You're very sick." I said, "Keep me in the emergency room. Don't admit me." "Why?" "Because I travel sometimes to the States." Sometimes it means more than that sometimes. The first question they ask you on travel's insurance, "Have you been admitted to the hospital in the last 6 months? My insurance is going to really skyrocket. Can you please not admit me?" They're like, "Are you serious? Like, you know, you don't want to be admitted for us to save your life because your insurance is going to go up." I said, "Yes, you're getting it." You know, they're like, "Sorry, like, we're admitting you." You know, and they go out, they admit me. They're trying this, that, to come up with all different things. And then I made the mistake of telling them that the week before I was in South Africa. That opened up a whole can of bacteria. They started like, "Oh, you're in South Africa." Then they started in their Hebrew mode, like, "Oh, you have a South Africa." You know, "Mata omet, arom Africa, echze choliot, ma, yeshlo bayot." You know, they're like, I'm like, "What the thing?" And some of that, then the head doctor walks in. "Doctor, South Africa." "Mata omer, arom Africa." They're like, "Yeah, where?" I was like, "I was in Cape Town, I was in Johannesburg." Then they're like, "Oh, so who cares? It's a regular city. It's not like, you know." I was like, "No, we must test them for everything now, you know." And they go ahead. And big kids, they check him back and forth, whatever. They finally, this was the worst of the worst. I mean, Gehenna is worse, but this was worser than other things. I get admitted, and I think it was Sunday night, and this is Baruch Hashem, the last time this happened to me. Maybe it was Monday night or Tuesday night, I don't know, but I get admitted, and they go ahead and I start the shaking again. And now the shaking comes on so intense. My wife was there and I punched it out. She didn't see it like this. This was intense and she was punched it scared. And I was just in so much pain. I was shaking in a way, I can't imitate it. I can't even imitate it. I was literally bouncing off the bed. If anyone ever saw a seizure before, you saw someone with a serious case of Parkinson's. That's mamish what it looked like, shaking off the bed. I was just like, "Hashem, I can't, please, you know, just please don't take it." And then amazing, because the Arab guy who worked there, his name was Hashem. He was like, "What's your problem?" And I was like, and the point is that I go ahead and I was like, "Push it," shaking off the thing. I was bouncing off the bed. And I said, and my wife was like, give him something, you know, something. You know? They're like, would you like a napkin, you know? And I'm like literally bouncing off the bed. And okay, let's fast forward a little bit and then we'll rewind. I told my wife afterwards, I was like, isn't that crazy with that last shaking? I shook for like 5 minutes. My wife said, 5 minutes? You wish it was 5 minutes. I said, no, I don't. I don't want it ever to have been, yeah? She goes, you were shaking like that for, I'm not, and my kid, and sometimes she goes, not like that, 20 minutes you're bouncing off the bed. Until finally what ends up happening, the headache explosive, and I'm like, oh, and my wife is saying, yelling at the Arab nurse, Vafa! You know, like, yeah, that was her real name. Vafa! You know, Vafa! It goes to get the thing, like, she's like, he's going to throw up. I'm telling you he's going to throw up. It's coming. And I turn over, and I just, whoo! And now it gets to a point where we have all over our body something called, if you're from America, capillaries. If you're from Canada, capillaries. And they're right under the surface of the skin. So when I threw up with such force that, you know, it's happened in the past where I've popped blood vessels in my face. And you see it. Like, you see, I had once, like, over here. It was Takakula. They called me Tiger Eyes after. But this time, it happened in my eyes. You ever saw someone with eyes that were red? Like, all red, besides the satan. I was saying, sorry, go ahead. And red, poshit, red, like a hue. My eye was like, I had blue and red, you know? And then the best is when the doctors, they come and they're like, hello, what? They're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, well, it's actually a condition called penicillinitis. It's just a continuation of the symptoms. You know, like, how am I supposed to know? I have no idea what it is. You know, I just remember looking in the mirror. I'm like, what happened? And then I said to myself, well, actually, you know, and I'm like, look at this. I'm thinking, like, how is this? I don't know what's going on. And they don't know. And the doctor comes in. They're like, okay, so listen, we got to talk about this. My wife was like, well, we get out for Rosh Hashanah. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to San Diego. You know? I'm like, dude, you're right. Dude. There's so much more to that. But I go ahead and I've already, you know, the guy says, listen, the doctor says, listen, my wife's like, is he going to be here for Rosh Hashanah? I'm like, listen, sorry to tell you this, but we have no idea how long he's going to be here because we don't know what's wrong with him. You know? I'm like, isn't that great? Like when you go to a hospital and they look at you like, yeah, we don't know what's wrong with you. You know? Where should I go? There's nowhere to go, you know? So I'm thinking, like, this is crazy. In the meantime, again, I have so much more I want to share with you. In the meantime, I get a phone call as I'm talking to this doctor. This is already a couple days in the hospital. And the doctor says, I ignore the phone call because I'm talking to the doctor. The doctor leaves the room. I call back. They said, this is the best part. There was a nurse that I remembered from the first hospital I was in. Her name was Sigalit. I remember the name, Sigalit. And I call. She says, Shalom, Sigalit, Miyun. You know, this is Sigalit from the emergency. I said, Sigalit! Hey! You know, like old friends. You know? She's seen like 12,000 patients since me. She's like, oh, Friedman! You know? She has no idea. She's like, Tlicha, give this to someone else. Like, hi, this is Chen. I'm like, I don't know you, Chen. I'm sorry. She goes, oh, we just have to tell you that we got back your blood cultures. And this was like the beginning of Baruch Hashem, some sort of opening to some sort of seeing something. Or the blood cultures came back with, they found it was, what they, I'll quote to you, Matanu Chaydakim Badam. I said, wow, that sounds very lovely. Chaydakim Badam, wow, thank you. You know, I'm like, and I don't know what that was. Chaydakim, I knew Badam. You know, I never heard of, I know in blood. You know, so I go to the doctor. I'm like, doctor, I think we found the problem. He goes, what is it? It's a lovely little thing called Chaydakim. And he goes, yeah, we just got it. They sent it to us also. I was like, okay. What does that mean? What is Chaydakim in the dam? He said, well, it's this thing called penicillinitis. He wasn't really a doctor, it turned out, after. He just played one on. And so it turns out, he said, what is it? It's bacteria. They found bacteria in the blood. Now, that's not supposed to be there, right? They found bacteria in the blood. After lots of tests, which tell me, I'll tell you a lot of tests, they found I didn't have anything else that they were looking for from South Africa or any other country. And that I had, they found a certain bacteria, whatever it was, is that relevant? The point is they found the particular bacteria, which every one of us has in our body, but it's just a very strange that it happened to have entered into the blood. And they're trying to figure this out. They're like, how could this have happened? I'm like, I'm glad you asked. Could you stop asking me questions, please? And then I said, well, it's connected to the eye. And this is, so they go ahead. And now is where things get a little messed up. Tuesday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up to some nurse holding my hand because they were checking my pulse and oxygen levels and whatever it is. You know, they do their rounds. I wake up and I was like, you're not, why are you touching? She was like, a thing on me. And then I see her get nervous. So I look at the screen. And she saw that my heart rate was a little low. Now, just to give you a little understanding to know what I'm about to share with you, an average heart rate of an adult male at 140 pounds is somewhere between 60 and 100. That means, for those unfamiliar with these fancy words, your heart will go boom, 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 like that, 60 times in a minute. If you're quite healthy, you know, you work out or whatever, it could be below 60. If you're quite not healthy, then it will be higher. If you're really not healthy, you die. Now, my heart rate, and this is a resting heart rate, which when you're totally still, your heart rate will be a little lower, obviously. When you're moving, it'll be higher. My heart rate, as I was lying there at 4 o'clock in the morning, was 40. So she looks at me, she's like, 40? I said to her, listen, it's totally fine. And she goes, what do you mean it's totally fine? I said, listen, I'm really tired. Can we do this later? And she's like, no. And she did it again. And it comes out at 40. I'm like, I'm telling you it's okay. She's like, why are you saying that? I'm like, trust me. The red and the... it's because of a thing. You know, I don't know. Cause another thing. Next thing I know, they're sending me to another unit. They're sending me to another ward, which is called... Now, I didn't know if I was seeing things double or it actually was. It's called the ICCU. The ICCU, right? Don't really call it the ICU. I guess it's Israeli, you know, when they spell things differently. And, you know, welcome to ICCU. And it's very nice place. And I go ahead, and apparently they're French also. And so I go ahead and I'm... Turns out I didn't know this till I was there for like 2 days. It stands for Intensive Care Cardiac Unit. The problem was that my heart was too low. So then it went a little bit lower. It went supposed to be like 60 or so, and it was at 40, and it went down a little bit more to like 35, whatever. And then when I go to sleep, and this is where they got a little nervous, that, you know, you're hooked up with the guys. You maybe don't know, and you shouldn't know, but you're hooked up with the guys. You have four guys in you. It's very painful at all times. But no, these four little stickers, and it hooks you up to this machine, EKG, whatever, check everything. And when it gets below a rate, when your heart goes too low, it'll start going beep, 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 right? So whatever it is. And I put it on. As soon as they plugged it in, it goes beep, beep, beep. I'm like, what, I win? You know, I'm like, yes! $1. It's like, I'm like, what? You know, and they go in there, and why was it? The lowest you can go till it beeps is 45. My highest was 40, so they had to lower the level to like 35. But then it went to 35. So, and when I would go to sleep, it would go down to like 30. Eventually, what they did is they put it at 28. That's where they put the marker. Like below 28 is not good. Let me just make that clear. Very not good. I would fall asleep. And as soon as I would fall asleep, I would hear, beep, 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 beep. I'm like, what? Again? You know? Because every time I'd fall asleep, my heart rate would drop more. And it went down to below 28. It went to 27. It went to 26. And then eventually, they had to keep me up all night, you know? So it was just like crazy. It got to a point that I was so tired that I just disconnected the machine. You know, you just disconnect it. So I just disconnected. They come running in, and I was like, oh, you know? That would have been off. I didn't do that. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm not kidding. I did it once, but I whatever. The nurse comes in. There's a guy. He comes in, and this is how he introduces us. I'm welcome to the ICCU. He says, big guy, he's like 6'3", he goes, my name is Osama Bin Laden. I says, I'm not kidding. I said, it must be difficult to travel. Hard for you to travel. His name was Osama. This guy's name was Osama. He was posh and awesome. He was really a good guy. I don't know, actually. I don't know. It's Boro. All right. Go ahead. They don't know what's wrong with me, but don't worry, because tomorrow the heart specialist is coming, so don't worry. Because tomorrow the heart specialist is coming. So the guy comes in, the heart specialist comes in. He's a specialist in rate, heart rate, how fast, whatever. And the guy says to me, he looks at my heart rate, he looks at me, he goes, "Od muzar, very strange." This is like a day before Rosh Hashanah, so I'm like, "So what's the problem?" He goes, "Ani lo yodea." Chag sameach. Are you kidding me? You really don't, like, what does that mean? And at one point, my hand had swelled up, like doubled because of whatever, I don't know why, but I go, I'm like, "And what's this?" He goes, "Ma'od muzar." I said, "Okay, but what is it?" He goes, "Ani lo yodea." I said, what do you know? What do you know then? Yeah, he's like, "Well, you know, I know that you're not in a good state right now." You know? I was like, "Well, what can you do?" And this is the craziest thing. What medication can you give to raise someone's heart rate?
Caffeine.
I look at cocaine. You said cocoa, right? Is that what you said? Like, what medicine? Okay, so the answer is none. There is no medication. Meaning, you can give someone adrenaline. You can get their system pumping, but it's not like every time someone's like, "Adrenaline," right? Or like get very scared every couple of minutes, you know? And like, "A car! Ah! Thank God, it's better." How are you gonna raise the heart rate? There is no medication. You know what the medication is? It's something called a pacemaker. A pacemaker. A pacemaker, for those unfamiliar, is a little electric chair for your heart, right? It's just like, shocks you back in place. It's like, what about, I'm like, here I am at 23 years old. You're going to give me a pacemaker? Are you serious? And the guy says, "Listen, we'll see, whatever." Okay. I want to share some Torah with you. So I'm going to, I only have negative 2 minutes. So I want to just, dinner is already eaten. So let's finish. So Bekitzer, really, Bekitzer, I'm telling you, it was Mekatzer for you. There's a lot to talk about. Rosh Hashanah, I'm sitting there. Let's just fast forward to here, I'm out. Okay, I'm here. I still have to do a couple more tests and whatever it is, but Baruch Hashem, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. I mean, we see tefillah sometimes can be a little bit discouraging for people. And I could just tell you about myself as Chatoy Nimaskar Yom. We've discussed in the past. I can't tell you all of them because we really don't have time. But I want to just share with you one of my Chatoyim. And that's a lack of Amunah in certain areas. And one of them might be a little bit sometimes in tefillah. I started to notice, I don't have a good track record. I started to notice that when I would daven, people would still die. I started to realize I'm killing them. Right? I should stop davening for them because that's the conclusion. It's a nice thing to see you daven for someone and they get out of it. It's a nice thing to see. And I want to show you just me. There's a lot more to talk about. But myself, I was in a very bad state. I didn't know what was going on. It spread to the kid. I had crazy headaches, which I was taking cocaine, by the way, for. I'm not kidding. There's a certain thing I'll try. Whatever. Talk to me out. Talk to me after the shear. You know what I'm saying? Meet me outside. Parking lot. Anyway, so I gotta make a parnassa, you know. So anyway, so I was doing narcotics when I was there, and push it, not a good matzav, and the Ribbono Shel Olam mamish took me out of such a matzav. When I was heavy in it, Rosh Hashanah, someone's like, "Wow, your Rosh Hashanah davening is probably really heavy, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, there's only one thing. I didn't daven." You know, now don't get me wrong, I davened. I davened. But I didn't daven the tefillah that was in front of me. I was pashut so weak. I was lying in bed and I was walking around. I davened Hashem. I said Shmona Esrei when I could. Mincha time, I was standing. Other than that, I once went down. It was pashut, and it was a disaster. It was serious, and one of my friends came to visit me. His name is Shragi. Shragi's sitting with me, and he says, we were talking about like the next time I'm flying, that I'm traveling somewhere. And I said, "I'm going in October at some point." He said, "Oh yeah, you're going?" I don't think he meant it like that, but I took it like, you know, Taka, maybe I'm not going. I don't know if I'm going. My heart rate was staying exactly equal, which is a good thing that wasn't going lower. And when I got up, it got higher. But the highest I can get to is 60. The highest, if I like pushed myself. Other than that, I was in the 30s. So push it. I have no idea when this is going to end. And they have no idea when it's going to end. Push it. I have no idea what's going to be. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, Ribono Shel Olam, and I'm davening, I'm saying, Zochrinu L'chaim, Melech Chofetz V'chaim, V'chosveinu B'sefer Chaim, L'man Chelukim Chaim. And I was thinking of Pinkus writes, so many people, so much effort in the tefillah. And they're saying like, you know, Hashem, so mechnoflim, v'rofei cholim. And he explains, silly, that's not the time for bakasha. That's Shevach. That's just saying Hashem is Rofei Cholim. Then you get to Refuah, and then you daven.
Interesting. Zechenu L'chaim, El Chafetz Chaim is in Shevach. It's fascinating. Okay, I use it as a serious bakasha time. Get me out of here. I just want to live. I don't want to forget everything else. I just want to live. What am I going to make from this? What am I going to do? How am I going to take from this? Raise the roof. Raise the roof. Like, get it up a little bit. The roof is at like 60 maybe. Come on, go a little higher. Let's make this happen. Okay. A lot of, but tefillah, no question. The whole pasha, this is not a...
And with your tefillah, it's not like, you know, and with Klal Yisrael together, we can.
This is not like, this is, I actually mean it. Your tefillah's pasha saved my life. It's not a shayla about it. It's like, for sure. The little Ashkacha Pratis on the way, I think, for sure. That's what do you think? It just came out. The doctors themselves, like, we don't know. I'm like, what do you mean? And they kept telling me, medicine doesn't know everything. This is a process. I'm like, listen, I don't care about the process. What's the problem? They're like, well, what's with your eyes? I'm like, stop. Yeah. You go ahead and push it, thinking like, what's going to be? How am I going to go ahead and what am I going to take from this? How am I going to go a little bit further? So I want to just understand. A friend of mine wrote to me a line. He quoted someone. I forget. I should have looked it up before. My friend is Rav Shlomo Farhi. He said to quote someone else, you never know how many friends you have until people think that you died. And plus, it's amazing. The way the world, the Kvod Rav called me every single day. I was a little shocked about Rosh Hashanah, but... Pikuach nefesh, but no, really, Rav Sender called me every single day. People called me and people were emailing, whatever it is. I wrote updates to make sure because apparently my leg had fallen off. But Hashem, someone found it. It was me. It was right there all along, and it was just under the blanket. But the point is, to recognize and understand the fact of how we should never go through this, but you should know, Chazal teaches that if someone in the Chabura, one of the Bnei Chabura, somebody in your crew, something happens to them, the entire Chabura gets hit. This isn't just me that got nailed. I'm just the one who is the representative of all of you. Whether you like it or not, you chose to be in this yeshiva. If you would have been a different one, you'd be fine, but you're here. Now that you're here and I got sick and I'm in your yeshiva, that means that you also got sick, so to speak, and we have to do a Cheshvan HaNefesh. You have to try to figure out what's going on over here. Why did it happen? Things are not random. There's stuff that's going on over here. There's meaning and there's purpose and everything. So I started to go through. I'm not going to go through, but I did a whole cheshbon nefesh on my whole body, everything they checked. I found some pretty bad stuff. I knew about it all the time, but I didn't like to think about it. Why did they check my head so much? They told me, we got to do a CAT scan on your head. I said, why? They said, you might be bleeding in your brain. I'm like, couldn't you have told me we don't know? Like, that's the time you know? And they go, ahead, I'm like, great. They come out, like, by the way, you're not bleeding in your brain. I'm like, thank you, you know? And it comes out, I have to say something amazing. I have a friend who had a baby, and they had a worry that maybe that the baby had something wrong with bleeding in the brain. This is before anything happened to me. I push a daven for this baby. What do we know? Anyone who davens for someone else, who netchila, I poshut ended up in the same. Did they have to tell me those words? They could have not have said that, but it happens to be the very thing I daven for someone else's baby. Baruch Hashem, baby's fine. Turns out to be the same thing I had to go through. Poshut, amazing. Because Baruch Hashem mesaviv sivuvim puts in a place to make sure that you're going to daven for the right things at the right time. You have the refuah before the makkah. It's going to be there. But what are we taking from this concept? It shouldn't just be like, okay, nice story, a little bit funny, and whatever it is, bottom line, and we daven for someone wrong. But ultimately, what are we going to take from this? Is that every one of us shouldn't have to go through something in order to then have to go ahead and change. I'm sure I've said this after speaking a number of times, but I'm going to repeat it. And for the first year, guys, you haven't heard it yet. There's a story about a fellow, a religious rabbi, gets into an Israeli cab. And when he gets in a secular cab driver, the Israeli secular cab driver turns to the rabbi and he says to him, you should know something. My best friend is a rabbi also. And he looks at the guy. He's like, Taka, your best friend's a rabbi. He says, Epis, I'm telling you. Right? So he says, Gevaldik, tell me about it. He says, we were both in the army together. We were both secular. And then when we finished the army, we went on some trip to South Africa. Like, oh no, bacteria! And I said, go ahead, and ended up in whatever, Thailand. It's a little area in South Africa. And we were out in the woods, and we were camping. And in the middle of the night, I hear a weird sound that wakes me up. I hear this like, ah! And I look over, and I see my friend is lying next to me. And there's a boa constrictor, this huge snake, which is wrapped around him, literally squeezing him to death. So I take a stick and I start hitting that thing and nothing's working. I'm trying to pull it off. And we're both secular, but you know, who doesn't know Shema? So I turned to the guy, I turned to my friend, and I said to him, Nu, say Shema Yisrael. So the guy with his last breath says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the snake unravels and goes off into the woods. And my friend, because of this, became a Baal Tshuva. This is not a mushel, it's a real story. It became a Baal Tshuva and it became a Rav. So this rabbi looks at him and he goes, what about you? What happened? What about you? He goes, don't be silly. It didn't happen to me. Are you ridiculous? It happened right next to you. For some of you unfamiliar and don't come second seder, I sit over here. If you're right next to me in that area, you're right next to me. If you're still in the Beis Medrash, you're right next to me. What message am I taking? I have my stuff that I could, again, do another shiur on. But what message are you taking? There's got to be something that we have to learn from this. Otherwise, what was it for? For me, there's a lot. But what's it for you? What is each one of us walking away and saying, I'm going to actively do A, B, C in order to be able to take advantage of the fact that Baruch Hashem, obviously the first thing for me was Asher Yatzar. I learned how to say it. Like, properly. I knew the words, you know. But to actually pay attention to what I'm saying, Asher Yatzar, the body, come on. But what are we going to take from this? Is it going to be something, or it's just like another story that we heard, and, oh, Baruch Hashem, is he better? Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. It's got to be something we're taking. So let's put this all together, and I'll wrap it up, because we're a little bit behind the times here. We start from the beginning of the whole storyline, we know what happens over there. Person completely healthy. I left at 4:30, my wife saw me a completely healthy person physically, and what happens? I come back, I said, totally done out, like throwing up, shaking like a headache, what, the fever, what's happening over here? In a matter of seconds, you ask me how I was doing at 4 o'clock, I'd be like, I'm doing great, I'm a little tired, I don't really want to walk to the shul, but okay, I'll go and I'll do it, I've got to do what I got to do, and all of a sudden, bam, the next thing you know, Titus is on the floor. I don't want to compare myself, Lahavdil, but it's on the floor. It's posh, it's scary. Stop and think about the fact that it could happen to any one of us at any time. Rachamana Litzlon, it should never happen to anyone. Amen! However, and you shall be rich. Amen! It's a little stronger. Right? But it'd be a way that what every one of us recognizes is the fact that the bracha that we have in our lives is like an advance of that bracha and start doing something with our lives about it, taking from this something practical. I can't tell you what it is. Rosh Hashiva called me and asked me, what should I tell you to do? And Baruch Hashem, I ended up getting out about a day later, and I didn't have time to think even, what am I going to tell someone else? I had plenty of things myself that I was doing, but what am I going to tell somebody else? But every one of us has to take something, even if it's just saying Asher Yatzar with Kavana, but seeing something and realizing it flows that Baruch Hashem does for us, and now in a second, things can be very, very different. And if we come to recognize that and take advantage of the time when we're here right now, don't get involved in shtiyot. Really, now is this new zman to start cracking and lacking. There's no tamag. Really getting into it in a way of taking advantage of the fact that we have the ability to learn data, that we can sit down and we can actually do it. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives us something, I think of Tefillah Zaka, and what do we do with it? We take it, we use it against him. So, you know what? Maybe we'll test that thing a little bit. You know what, Rebbeinu Shalom? I'm using it for you. I'm using my eyes to look into the Gemara. I'm using my ears to listen to the Shia. I'm using my mouth to speak out the words of Torah. I'm using my legs to get to the Beis Medrash. I'm using my arms in order to knock the guy out who keeps waking me up at night. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I'm taking advantage of these things. And with the Rebbeinu Shalom, that only with Ezer Hashem, only by Ezer Hashem. I can tell you, only Be'ezash, only with Hashem's help. Without Hashem's help, you got nothing. Il I think applies to your, in everyone's second of your entire life. Without Hashem's help, we have nothing. And only with your bonus of Hashem will we be able to succeed. But, I'm leaving it on an open note, you must take something from the story. If you came here because you're coming for some sort of hearing a nice story or whatever it is, or you had nothing else to do or you had to, okay. But take something from this and make it real. That the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to do anything to bring us close to him, because we will already be close to him. Like I mentioned, Be'ez Hashem, if we're able to go out and take this and make it real and put something into our own life, then none of us, not only will we never experience any pain, but God willing, we will. Mirtz Hashem, Bekarv Mamish, as the Gemara speaks out in Sanhedrin on page Sadi, hey, I think it is. I learned it yesterday after Esmei Chavrusa, who comes and says, what, the Gemara, that you know when Mashiach's going to come? When's Mashiach going to come? Whenever you want it. Whenever you want it. Mashiach's going to come whenever you want it. He'll come. Daven for it. Learn for it. Be involved with it. And Ribbono Shel Olam, God willing, not only is going to give us health now, but it's going to continue on the old Me'ad for the entire year. And God willing, Ad Me'ad V'esim. Everyone, thank you so much for coming. Shkar.